the clip I played at the very beginning is a song called I Want to Be a Superhero. And regardless whether we want to have superpowers or not, deep down inside of us, everybody here has a desire to be a hero, to make a difference, to change somebody's life, to do something that would leave a mark, a legacy behind. And well, the guy that was reading the cards there, so to speak, his name was Tony Stark, and he was no different. He was a man that, honestly, if I was going to describe him and I was going to pick one word to talk about him, the only word I could come up with is he's a jerk. I mean, he really was. He wasn't a very nice man at all. I mean, he was kind of self-centered, and he basically thought the world just revolved around his needs alone, and he had a girl that loved him, and he didn't pay enough attention to her, and he built weapons for a living, and he didn't care who got hurt in the process, and he was a jerk. But all that changed when he ended up with a chest full of shrapnel and a damaged heart, and they had to put something inside of him just to keep the shrapnel from hurting his heart, and it gave him a power source wrapped around his heart, and things changed. Tony Stark became, as he called himself, Iron Man. Again, the guy at the end of the movie that sacrificed himself or tried to sacrifice himself to save the world. And I want to play off of that theme because many of us, like I said, we want to be heroes, but I'm not sure that we quite understand what God means when he says he wants us to save the world. Because I don't know that he needs another person in tights and a cape to do it, because you know what? God already sent the superhero, the person that gave his life. And last week, as we've been talking about Samson, I left you in a very bad place, and I did it on purpose. I left you with this question, and I left you with that very eerie song and the idea of the question of, would you know? We were at the point in Samson's story where Samson finally gave in to Delilah, and he told Delilah all the truth, or at least what he thought was the truth, or what he wanted people to believe was the truth. And they shaved his head, and he went out to fight the Philistines one more time, and he got beat. And he didn't get beat because his head got shaved. He got beat because God left. He got beat because God left and took the strength with him. And remember the sad statement? The sad statement was that God left, and Samson didn't even notice he was gone. And that's a scary thought. And I left you with this question that if you've gotten to your life, are you living your life in such a way that if God walked out on it, would you actually notice? Are you in enough of a place that you realize who God is? And if he walked out of it, would you even notice that he was gone? So today we're going to finish Samson's story. And I would love to tell you I've got a happy ending for you. But this isn't a Disney movie. Samson's not going to come marry Delilah. She's not a princess. And they're not going to live happily ever after in the castle. They're not going to waltz across the dance floor. As a matter of fact, instead of a Disney movie, this would make a much better William Shakespeare tragedy play. Because Samson's life gets even more tragic as we go along. Now, we're going to be in Judges chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. And I encourage you this morning, if you have a Bible with you, to pick it up and make your way there. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab one out of the rack in front of you. And if you don't know how to find Judges chapter 16, let me give you a hint. It's on page 251. So if you pull out the Bible in the pew rack and you turn it up into 251, I promise you, you'll be right where I am starting today's lesson. And remember, we left ourselves with would you know. Remember where we left Samson? Samson had been shaved, so the glorious locks and his long hair was all gone. He had been blinded. They gouged out his eyes. He had been in prison. They put him in these bronze shackles and shoved him in a cell. He had been forced into slavery, basically milling wheat. And we don't know what that looks like, but they were milling wheat. But in verse 22, it says, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, here's the thing I want you to remember. Samson's hair was not the source of his strength. Okay, the fact that his hair grew back had absolutely, positively nothing to do with the story except for the few little simple facts that we know who the source of his strength was. It was God. I mean, God was the source of Samson's strength. He knew that all along, even when the hair was gone, he thought, I can still go out and beat this Philistine, because he didn't realize God was gone. See, God had set Samson apart for a mission, and well, he gave him the strength to accomplish that mission. And when Samson chose his way and not God's way, God left. And that's why Samson finds himself in this situation. But this fact that they point out that his hair began to grow back, it offers a little glimmer of hope to all of us. And I don't want to just gloss over this verse, because guess what? Just as Samson's hair could regrow, if he chose, his relationship with God could be restored. Yes, when Samson chose his own way, God left, but God didn't abandon. I mean, God refused to help Samson with more strength, but God didn't write Samson off. And I find this encouraging, because you know what? God's not concerned about your past. God's concerned about your future. God doesn't care what you've done in your past that you think he can't forgive, because he says, I'm a big God. You think about what Samson had done in his life, and God still says, I can still use it. And his hair began to regrow. Now, if you remember, this shouldn't have been such a big deal, because if we had added up the dots earlier while Samson was doing all of the killing and all the back and forth and all the doing this and all the doing that, Samson should have already had his head shaved a few times, because every time he killed, he should have had his head shaven, and his hair should have already been regrowing back a few times. So this idea that his hair began to grow back is important, but unfortunately, it doesn't solve Samson's issue. You see, Samson is becoming a mockery in where he's at. I'm going to read from verses 23 through 25, and this is what we see. Now the rulers of the Philistines, remember these are the guys that paid all of this silver to have him put in this situation. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, in a celebration, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain. While they were in high spirits, well, I'll let you figure out what the word high spirits mean. I got a feeling they were in very high spirits. They shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. Now, I don't know exactly how much time had passed between verses 22 and 23. Obviously, it might have been enough that you could actually see the stubble on the top of Samson's head begin to grow back. It wasn't like overnight. It's not like we're on the very next day. Samson's been down in the cell for a while milling wheat, and he's been in this place. And I don't know, maybe this is such a big celebration they decided to give some planning time for it. But you understand, they were celebrating a victory. So I'm not sure whether it's the exact victory of Samson or whether they've done something else to create a victory now with Samson in shackles. They can go out and attack Israel. So I don't know what the source of the victory is, but they are celebrating a victory. And, well, they're praising their God. I tried to emphasize this, the fact that they are praising not Jehovah. They're now praising their God, saying, hey, look, this God that Israel had, he ain't nothing. Because that hero that they sent, that guy that did all that damage, man, we didn't gouge his eyes out, and he ain't nothing more than a slave now. Our God is the God. Our God is at the front. And you see, you do get the idea that they then brought out the mighty Samson, their ultimate victim, and they said, perform for us. Now, I don't know what the man's going to do. He can't see. Hopefully not try to juggle. I don't know. Maybe they taught him a song. I don't know what they did, but they brought him out. Maybe all the performance was is they just brought him out and watched him stumble around in his darkness, trying to figure out what's the next thing that I need to do, trying to come up with a plan to solve this problem. But here's what I want you to gather out of this. They were not only mocking Samson. Here they were. They were mocking Jehovah. They were mocking the God of Samson. And this is important because Samson is standing in the room and he's hearing all of this ruckus. He can't see, but they didn't make the man deaf. He can hear what they're saying. And it should enrage him. Well, something enraged him. Because we get to the end, and this is where I want to spend the bulk of our time in this little passage of Scripture. So I'm going to read it to you in its entirety, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to break it down a piece at a time. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand. Isn't that a picture for you? The man that once beat 1,000 troops with a head of a donkey is now having to be led around by his hand. But Samson said, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women, and the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson says, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and on all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. And I read that, and honestly, we want to make Samson the hero at this point. After all, remember, he thought his mission was to get rid of the Philistines, and he definitely gave a mighty blow to them, and so we want to say that he got it, but I want to break this down a little bit. Because I think this passage of Scripture has more to say about maybe where we live our life a lot of times than we want to admit. Because even here at the end, while maybe he accomplished his mission, I'm going to show you I don't think he ever got it. I don't think he ever understood what his mission really was. Because remember, he asked to be put next to the load-bearing columns. So obviously, this is something that Samson was planning to do. It's not like he had woke up and said, "Gee, how could I possibly get this done? How could I possibly do this?" He actually had thought about this. And he looked at the servant, and I don't know why the servant didn't register to him. I mean, I don't know much about construction, but I do know what load-bearing means. It means if you take out load-bearing, whatever is being bared by the load comes down. And the fact that Samson specifically said, "Put me next to the good pillars," to me, the servant would have probably asked the question to him, "Why?" But understand, he thought, no big deal. He's an old blind man with no strength left in him. So Samson was planning. And well, then he prayed. Now, this is important because think about it. This is our fifth week in the story of Samson. In the 5 weeks that we've talked about Samson, how many times have you seen him do anything spiritual? Zero. The only time he even referenced God is when he whined to God about not having anything to drink after a battle that he shouldn't have been in the first place. Never had he done anything spiritual, so maybe this is that little bitty glimmer of hope that Samson now finally gets it because he's praying to God. But his prayer, I think it says a lot about where Samson finished his life. And I think if we listen to it careful enough, it may say a lot about where many of us live our life. You see, because he starts off, "Sovereign Lord, remember me." Humility. That's a good start, right? Being humble when you come before God. Remember, before he was out there bragging that, hey, look, I slaughtered 1,000 men. They wanted to make a donkey out of me, and I killed them with the donkey. Don't you find that kind of funny? Look at me. I'm going to pick up your entire gate and tote it up on a hill and set it there, and I'm just going to do it just to show you how strong I am. Remember, I'm the guy that went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them together, and I burned down your grain. Everything he's done up till this point is about himself. This man didn't have a humble bone in his body. He never even referenced God, except for, again, God, you owe me. I slaughtered all these Philistines for me, so, hey, bring me some water. Serve me. And at least now, he's praying, sovereign God. And as he continues, he says, please, God, strengthen me just once more. Now, he said, please. That's good. This is not an order. He's not demanding God. He is making a request of God. And he is actually acknowledging God as the source of his strength. If he thought it was the hair, he could have just put his head up and, hey, look, my hair is back. But he understood it was never about the hair. It was always about God. And so you can almost start applauding. He gets it. Yay, celebrate Samson. He's gonna do the right thing. And he's calling God, God. And he's being humble. And he's saying, please. And he's making requests. And Samson gets it. And then the real Samson shows up. Look at the statement. Let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistine for my two eyes. So let's just break this down. First of all, who? Let me. Not God will you. Not God help me. He's just saying, let it be about me. And then he continues on. He says, with one blow. Man, I'm not in this for the long haul, God. I want to make the spectacular boom. I want the pyrotechnics, Lord. I want to do it in such a way that it lets them remember who Samson was, because I am Samson, God's hero. So with one blow, I don't want to have to fight a battle. I don't want to have to do a lot of wars. God, just give me one. One swing, one shot. And you know what? I love this next part. So I can get revenge. Haven't we been here before? I mean, wasn't this the whole idea behind the foxes and the donkey head and the crying to God to give me water? Samson gets so consumed with getting even and making things fair and making things right that even at this point, with his eyes gouged out and bronze shackles around him and being laid low to this point, he still is only concerned about making it right. Getting even. Making sure that they remember that they did him wrong. Making it fair, I guess, is what you might want to say. And you know what? I could even handle the revenge thing if he had said, hey, I want revenge, God, because they're out here making a mockery of you. So, God, give me my strength so I can get revenge for you. But he's not even concerned about that. What's he still focused on? They took my eyes, God. They gouged out my eyes. They physically harmed me, Lord. God, do you understand what they did? They're out here and they're making me perform like a dancing monkey, God. Lord, this isn't right. This isn't how it was supposed to be. And so, God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give me my strength so that I can show them that what they're doing to me is wrong. You think he ever got it? It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like even though he's been damaged to the point that his heart should be broken, it sounds like he is still the same old Samson that we've been looking at for the first 4 weeks. He's not another hero. He's just a self-absorbed man that maybe just finds himself in the right place at the right time, and God uses him. See, because then after he makes that prayer, then he says, you know what? Let me die with the Philistines. Now, you get that. We want to hold him up. Oh, look, he's willing to sacrifice himself. No, he's not. I mean, what would be harder to say, God, let me live, let me die with the Philistines, or let me finish my mission and then live on as an old blind man that can have to tell my story over and over again so I can be a testimony to the nation of Israel about how to follow God? Which would have been more useful? You see, it is a lot easier to be the martyr for God than to be the messenger for God. It's a lot easier to say, God, I've run my battle, I've done my thought, I've done my part, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to let people serve me now. It's a lot easier to come to the end of your rope and say, I'm done, God, just take it all. Look, I'll do whatever you want, just make sure at the end of this, make sure you kill me too. Because this life of living as a servant, I'm not into that. This life of doing the things that you want me to do, I'm not into that. I'm not interested in going out here and trying to get Israel to come follow you. If I can't be the hero, then you know what? I'm not interested in playing the game anymore. I'm just going to pick my ball up and go home. That's what he's asking for. This isn't a noble request. This is Samson basically saying, you know what? I am not willing to live in the situation that I created for myself. That's important to remember. If Samson had done this God's way, he wouldn't be here. If Samson had never went out and found the lion, then you know what? He wouldn't be here. If Samson had never decided that he was going to chase the Philistine woman, he wouldn't be here. If Samson had never decided he's going to go dip his hands in the honey, he wouldn't be here. If Samson hadn't decided that he was going to get revenge, he wouldn't be here. If Samson had just, when Delilah kept trying to trap him, if Samson had just opened his mind for a second and said, it's a trap, I see it coming, I'm going to get away from it, but he didn't. You know why, don't you? Yeah, you know why, right? I want it. I deserve it. I can handle it. Don't you see the same thing here? God, I want my revenge. Lord, I deserve my revenge, and you know what? I can handle the consequences. Just kill me. Same old Samson. Here's the question. Is it the same old us? Do we approach our Christian life much like Samson is approaching the mission that God has given him? Hey, God, I'll do what you want, but I've got conditions on it. And you know, the funny thing is, God grants his request. Now, I want to make sure you hear something before I read this little passage of Scripture, because this is an important something for you to remember. Just because God uses it doesn't mean God approves of it. Just because God granted Samson's request doesn't mean that God wouldn't have chosen another way for Samson. As a matter of fact, I think it goes so far as to say Samson's short-sightedness, pun intended, caused him to ask for less than what God was willing to do in his life. And God said, fine, if that is as far as your vision could go, I will give you exactly what you asked for. You think God sometimes does that with us? Our vision is so small, and our vision is so limited, and our vision is so focused on us that we keep asking God for things for ourselves, and God just says, okay, if that's as far as you can see, I will give you exactly what you asked for. Because you know what? You can't see the world. Samson couldn't see the Israelites. He couldn't see the high places on the hill. He couldn't see that God was trying to call a people into repentance, not just merely kill a bunch of Philistines. And so God granted his request. But I just wonder, if Samson had made a different request, if he had said, God, give me my strength back so that I can take care of the mission, and then let me survive so that I can be a testimony to Israel, I wonder if God would have granted that request. I mean, at some point, you got to get to it, right? I mean, at some point, you got to come to the realization that God is more than just a vengeful God that put us out there to set people straight. So now I'm going to read the verses here. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Samson said, let me die, and then he began to push. Now, again, I want to come back and take a look at this passage of Scripture, because I think this tells us a lot about who Samson is. Now, notice what happened. He prayed, and then he acted. Yeah, it's not in there. God never said do it. He prayed, and then he said, you know what? I prayed for it, so it must be what God wants me to do. So then he just did it. No, it's not in there. I don't ever see him saying, God, I'm sorry for my part in this whole mess. Do you see any repentance in there? In his whole prayer, do you say, God, I've now realized that I've lived my life in such a way that God, you gave me so much and you blessed my life and you did all of these things for me. And God, I just blew it. No, that's not in there. Same old Samson, right? I want God to do for me what I want God to do, but I am unwilling to wait for God to see if it's what he wants me to do. And I'm definitely unwilling to say, God, help me with repentance. I just want you to solve my problem, God. I don't want you to fix my life. You ever think it's us standing between those two pillars? We're standing there with the things that have been done in our life and we're trying to fix our own life and we're like, God, just give me the strength one time to push these pillars apart and I promise you I will never ask for anything else. And then we begin to just push. And we push. And we push. Next thing I want you to notice is there's a phrase that's missing. Every other time that Samson got strong, go back and read the story. Every time Samson got strong, it said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You notice that missing here? As you look at that, you never see God say, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. You know why? Because look at what it does say. It says God allowed him to push with all of his might. Every other time you saw Samson get strong and he began to do something amazing, it was easy for Samson. I mean, the man killed 1,000 Philistines with a donkey head. He picked up a gate that would weigh tons and he picked it up kind of like I pick up a soda bottle. I mean, every time it was easy for him, but now it says he had to push with all his might. I almost wonder if God is just sitting there. Samson makes his request, doesn't wait to see if God's on board with the idea, and then Samson sits there and he's just pushing, and you can almost see his strain on his face, and he's trying to, as hard as he can, and he's like, come on God, just one more time, God. Come on God, come on, come on. And God's just sitting there saying, really? This is your answer? Really? This is what you want to do? It's almost like God is waiting for him to stop pushing and come back in prayer and start repenting. He's waiting. But he just keeps pushing. This isn't like the lion. This isn't like the army. This isn't like the gate. This is Samson doing what Samson wants to do, and he's just expecting God to go play along with the game. Sound like the Samson that we've shown over the first part of the story? Yeah. Here's the question. Does it sound like us sometimes? Yeah, God, it's what I want. It's what I deserve, and it's what I can handle. So you're just going to have to get with the program, God, because this is how it's going to go. And we just keep pushing. And well, they brought Samson out to perform, and I guess, true showman, his performance brought the house down. Literally. I know, I couldn't resist the pun. I'm sorry. It's just there. I have to do that, okay? Literally, he brought the house down. Eventually, God granted his request. As he sat there and he strained and he struggled and he pushed and all of his might, I wonder if God just went like this. And it came down. I mean, I wonder what it looked like. Did the pillars begin to crack, or maybe they just dissolved? I don't know what happened. But finally, God says, okay, you're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. Obviously, you're not going to repent. You're not interested in being the hero. So I'll make you the punchline, literally. He let the pillars come apart. And then here's another one of those sad statements. Samson accomplished more in his death than he did while he was alive. Isn't that crazy? I mean, do you want the only time people can talk about your faith in God to be when they're standing over your tombstone? Is the only time you want people to ever see anything spiritual in your life is when the minister's sitting there reading the obituary because your life is at the end and we have to find something nice to say about you. That's almost what you see here. I mean, we couldn't call him a nice man. We definitely couldn't call him committed to God. And so when we read his epitaph, the only thing we can say is, you know what? When he died, man, he went out with a bang. As a matter of fact, he took out more Philistines when he died than the whole time he was living. What a waste. What a waste. I mean, here is a man that from the point he was born, God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do things with you that you can't even imagine are going to happen. And I only have three little basic things that I want you to do for the object lesson. I don't want you to drink. I don't want you to come in contact with dead things. I don't want you to cut your hair. That's it. That's all you have to do. And we're going to be such a great team together, Samson. We will save the world and call Israel back to God. What a waste. If the only thing I can say about Samson is he killed a few thousand Philistines, that is a waste of what God blessed him with. And let's bring it back to us. Are we wasting what God blessed us with? Are we consuming the things that God blessed us with to push the pillars of our life to make sure that what I want is happening? See, when I say he's not another hero, I meant it. And you're probably thinking, well, he ended up in the Hall of Faith. Well, understand, I don't think he ended up in the Hall of Faith because of he was a very faithful person. I think he ended up in the Hall of Faith because God wanted to show that I am still a faithful God. See, there is this whole idea that Samson was this great man. No, he wasn't. He really wasn't. As a matter of fact, this is how his story ends. This is the funeral for Samson. Rest in peace, Samson, because guess what? Then his brothers, so you do get it that after they had Samson, remember they were barren at the beginning, so after they had Samson, God blessed them with a few more children. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and they buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol in a tomb of Manoah, his father. He led Israel for 20 years. That's it? Where are the stories of his great battles? Where are the stories of his great accomplishments? Why isn't anybody talking about all the good that he did for Israel? Because that's Samson's story. I mean, if you think about it, 20 years, that's not a long time. I mean, for people in the Bible that were leaders, 20 years wasn't, and he accomplished nothing except for just to kill a few thousand Philistines. Israel is no better off spiritually when he ended than when he started. And I just want you to understand, we don't need another hero like Samson. In this sermon series, I've gotten to play a lot of parts. The first week I got to be Superman. Remember my nice, big, bright Superman shirt? And the second week I got to be Batman as we brought in the shirt with the Batman logo. And then I had mercy on you because when we did Incredible Hulk, I just did a green shirt and I didn't go with the no shirt thing. You're thankful for that. You're welcome. And then last week I got to be Captain America. And this week I know everybody was like, I wonder what the superhero shirt's going to be this week. And I come in with a Parkview shirt. And the reason is because you know what? We don't need another hero. We don't need somebody with fancy powers that can come out and do magnificent things. We don't need somebody else that can walk on water. We don't need somebody else that can do those things because he came. His name was Jesus. We don't need another hero. What we need is we need messengers. We need people that are willing to take the life that God has given them and do what Samson couldn't do. And that is get out of his own way and go back out to a world and say, you know what? Let me tell you about who Jehovah is. Who is God? And when we begin to do that, then you know what? We can do exactly what the song says. We can be the people that save the world, but not save it because we jerked it out of a place. We save it because we introduce them to who Christ is. See, that's what we're looking to be. I don't want to be another hero. Okay, I would love to have superpowers just for one day, maybe. I got a few I'd like to try out on my list just because, well, it would be fun. So, but I don't want to be a hero to the point that you know what? God is just there. I want to be something so much more. I want to take this logo that says Parkview Christian Church and representing God's people, I want to go out and tell a message to the people that will bring them into a knowledge of who God is and will do so much more than killing a bunch of Philistines. Not only will it save it, it'll change it. That's what this logo is about. And to do that, well, we're going to have to become the church that God wants us to be. We're going to start a new sermon series next week. It's called The Good Church. Paul writes a letter to a young man named Titus, and in this letter, he gives the ingredients of what you take that when you mix them together, you get the church that God desires. And so next week, we're going to start this sermon series because we're going to go away from talking about how to be a hero to how to send the message. How to put it out there so that people can understand who God is.